Good evening, Chair, Commissioners. My name is Mike Murchison. I am here on behalf of the applicant, Studebaker LLC. I will say just a few comments. Lynette and Jill, their timelines that they laid out for you are accurate from our standpoint. I would add one other point of clarification that's been mentioned as some concerned. We terminated formally our retail application back in November 3rd of 2009, and that was part of the city's request at that time to move forward with a conforming use, was a requirement that we terminate that retail application. The city has that letter on file. Secondly, I want to reaffirm what's already been said. We have no contemplated use for that site at this time. There is no other company out there that is knocking down our doors saying we want to use that property. What we've come to realize, though, when we had a prior user show some interest, was that the tanks had to come down. I think we'd all agree those tanks have been an eyesore for at least over 40 years that I can remember. But for us, for eventual conforming use, we had to have those tanks come down. And that's why we're in front of you today. It allows us to market the property and gives us the ability to put it out there to conforming users to let them kind of see with those tanks down what the value of that property is. We think that's very important. Obviously, we've been going through this process for some time now, trying to find the right way to handle this, and we believe this is the step in the right direction. Tonight, I have with me here, if you have any questions, Commissioners, the proposed demo contractor. He has been in contact with the agencies that were mentioned by staff just to find out what those permits are, what's required, and what we need to do. We've also offered up as a mitigation measure to put down metal grates, because when you start doing this demolition, you're going to have a lot of loose gravel, dirt, and dust. We want to try to minimize or keep that off Studebaker as best as we can. In addition to that, we're committed to notifying the community, I call it the whole, but the University of State community across the way. We will notify them in any other residential neighborhood that you deem necessary prior to any work being conducted out there. We'll only do that as we go through the government approval process. Once we receive those governmental approvals and once they've all been completed, then we will notify the community and any other community that you all deem appropriate. Other than that, if there's any other questions that you have, again, I mentioned to you I have the demo contractor here, and I'm here to answer anything on behalf of Studebaker LLC. Thank you.
Honorable Planning Commission and staff, my name is Tom Marchese. My address is on file. I remain greatly concerned about a range of engineering, legal, coastal law, and environmental concerns here, and would urge you not to approve this application as presently prepared. I could clarify not one but three rulings that invalidated the proposals here. Based on this mitigated negative declaration, it looks as though we're attempting phase one, phase two, and maybe phase three of the prior project. I'd like to remind you that AES International filed a very extensive lawsuit which severely limited the uses on this property. So did the Wetlands Land Trust. I believe they'll speak later. But you must also be sensitive to the fact that the Coastal Commission issued findings which adopted 11 specific concerns here, and I believe that they need to be reviewed. I would continue by stating, absent significant additional work and notice, further compliance and review, I believe that this application as presented may have significant testable issues of fact and law. Presently, I'm opposed to the removal of these tanks under these circumstances or the further export of contaminated soil absent any meaningful notice, opportunity to respond, testing, or review. Please vote to continue the review of this application. Now, there was a statement that removing tanks does not include ground disturbance. Ladies and gentlemen, it is highly likely that this soil is the most contaminated soil in Long Beach. Put yourself in the position of living downwind or next door to it. Put yourself in the position of being in the school that's just a few feet downwind, the occupational Rosie the Riveter School. I will tell you, my uncle was the foreman of this plant for 30 years. He died from cancer, from what they used to do in and around this area. There is some nasty stuff in this soil. I have reviewed and filed a DTSC complaint in the past. I have reviewed it in the public interest. And recently, they have refused to correspond to our concern memorandums. So any statement that the DTSC is engaged in attempting to inform the public is patently false. and I have the emails to prove that they have not been responding to me on behalf of my citizens and friends. I would continue that this, quote, eyesore is self-created. Those tanks were put up under express condition that the screening trees would be planted and maintained. When this person bought this parcel, they cut down the trees without a removal permit, but most importantly, without a coastal permit. All you need to do is talk to a coastal law expert, and trying to merely trim trees in the coastal zone can spawn a debate for a year. In this case, they were removed and they were healthy. And that was something that we complained to the city about and that never received a remedy. I would continue to say that if this allows them to, quote, market the property review should be forthcoming before we make this approval tonight. And with respect to other concerns, I think I'll rest. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
Thank you. Do you have other speakers? You're all welcome to come down and stand in line.
Hi, my name is Heather Altman, and I'm not opposed to the removal of the tanks. They need to go. I mean, I drive by it twice a day, Monday through Friday, back and forth to work. Not pretty. My concern is with the process. And I am dismayed, I guess, is probably an appropriate word, to find out that the staff report prepared recommending approval of this project was done while the comment period was still going. So public comment period and also agency comment period. And those are actions that is an action that isn't very indicative of an agency that cares about public concern. And I think from that standpoint, there's a bit of a problem. Also, I'm hearing about the tank removal, and I think there needs to be a better understanding of the process, because from doing all the work I did in Home Depot for the legal stuff, and reading all the RCRA stuff and the DTSC stuff, it was clear to me through all of that documentation that the tanks sit on a foundation, steel plates, and those steel plates are sitting on gravel, and the pipelines are above ground and below ground. Well, if they're shaving everything off at the surface, then it's not necessarily a complete tank removal project. If they're leaving the foundations and they're not testing the soils as it is proposed that they're not going to do, then we may be creating a problem. And that is evidenced in some of the DTSC communications. For instance, the applicant through the Home Depot process did need to go and enter into a consent agreement. That consent agreement dictated the preparation and production, and DTSC ultimately approved the work plan. That work plan was basically a cookbook, very big cookbook, but a cookbook, that said you have to do A, B, C, and D. And the applicant currently is saying, well, you know, realizing that that was prepared for the whole Home Depot project, it was a much more comprehensive demolition project, the applicant is saying, I don't want to do all that, I just want to do a portion of A. And that is allowable per the consent agreement. But DTSC needs to give written authorization that this revised work plan is acceptable to them. And that there's a very specific procedure that needs to be followed. It has to be signed by a certain person. And all of that needs to happen. And that hasn't been done. Is that to say that it's not going to be approved down the line by them? Not at all. But for purposes of this mitigated neg deck, the applicant isn't conforming to the existing work plan, hasn't requested a revision, so from the purposes of CEQA, a potentially significant impact exists with regards to toxics. And I see my time is up, so thank you.
Thank you. Do we have another speaker?
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for allowing me to say a few words. My name is Pat Towner. I am the president of University Park Estates Homeowners Association, a former LCP person, so I know all about what the coastal zone was zoned as. And I wanted you to know that I'm currently here not for Upena, not for anybody else, but the residents who live in our area. As you probably know, you got our letter, and we have about 20 people who have actually signed their name. Some people are a little worried about signing their name, but who have actually signed their name, and about 80-plus people who voted overwhelmingly to oppose this until you take care of the issues of contamination. We are very concerned about contamination. Our understanding is these tanks are old tanks. They're not double-bottom tanks like you have today. And as a consequence, this stuff is sitting in the soil. All you need is a rainfall, all you need is something else, and you've got this stuff going every which way. In addition, we have a concern about how these trucks are going to get in and out of this area. If you go down from 7th to along Studebaker, you cannot turn a left into their driveway. You must go all the way down, make a U-turn, or come up through Westminster and back. So there's going to be traffic impacts that they have not thought about. In addition, one of our residents wrote to you a little bit about DTSC, which is the Department of Toxics and Substance Control. I'm not going to try to tell you I know everything about what's going on, but I do know that these guys are really concerned about what is going on. They have said that they haven't seen it. They're hoping to get their stuff in on time. I don't know whether they have or not. Chris Buckland wrote a little note stating that there's been stuff happening even since the Home Depot fiasco. This stuff is contaminated, it's toxic, and I'm begging you, please protect us homeowners. We've already had methane and trash spewed out on the Triangle or Loin site. We're asking you now again to please protect us. Don't let them be pulling these tanks down and not knowing where the dust is going to go, where any of that other stuff is, and at a minimum, make sure that somebody is on site at all times. I happen to have been there when a city person supposedly looked at the Loin site, and I watched him do a drive-by. I mean, it was fast, so I know that the city is very impacted and really can't afford staff, so I would like to make sure if, at a minimum, you hire somebody to oversee the entire process. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. Excuse me. My name is Elizabeth Lamb, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Los Ruidos Wetlands Land Trust. We are an advocacy organization dedicated to protecting and preserving the Los Ruidos wetlands, and I'd like to share with you some thoughts. To approve a development permit for the tank demolition and removal without requiring a full environmental impact review is illegal, threatens our local wetlands, and likely threatens human health. It is illegal because a mitigated negative declaration would violate California Environmental Quality Act. It would violate it for a number of reasons, but the biggest, clearest reason is that by stripping out any reference to the purpose for the tank removal, the city and the landowner are in effect piecemealing this project. We are quite skeptical that there are no plans for this land beyond the so-called tank removal. And in a letter that we sent the city in association with the University Park Estates Neighborhood Association from the law firm of Chatton & Brown Carstens, we wrote to you that it appears that the city has segmented the demolition portion of the project from the post-demolition foreseeable use. And a public agency is not permitted to subdivide a single project into smaller individual sub-projects in order to avoid the responsibility of considering the environmental impact of the project as a whole. We believe that an environmental impact review is necessary. And to quote further from our letter to you, because there may indeed be significant adverse impacts even after mitigation, an EIR must be prepared, circulated, and ultimately certified that accurately describes the project, assesses the project's significant impacts, identifies mitigation measures that can reduce those impacts, and describes and compares the environmental impacts of potentially feasible alternatives. This project is a threat to the Los Cerritos wetlands and the fragile, endangered plants and animals that depend on them. Again, as we stated in our letter, This mitigative negative declaration uses the heavily disturbed nature of the land to assume it has no biological value and consequently that no biological impacts will occur. As we stated in our letter, this fails for two reasons. First, the land is not nearly as disturbed as is asserted in the mitigated negative declaration. That was decided during the Home Depot case. Secondly, the disturbed condition of this land abutting the Los Cerritos wetlands necessitates an analysis of cumulative impacts that further degradation or redevelopment of this parcel may cause. In other words, no piecemealing. I'm about to run out of time, but I'm speaking on behalf of hundreds of people, so if I could have another minute, I would wrap up by that time, if that's all right.
If you could wrap up, please.
Okay. And I think it's best to remember that the California State Law and Coastal Act do indeed apply here, even though the revised mitigated negative declaration claims that the site does not have federally protected wetlands, it meets the standard of California definition of wetlands. And I know that your staff had said that they've been in conversation with the Coastal Commission. According to our attorneys, you need that written communication. That conversation is hearsay. And then finally, we think the threats to human health regarding this project are underestimated and given short shrift. And to quote again from our letter, this fails to disclose the likely significant impacts this project will have on the health of school children and does not ensure that they are fully mitigated as required. Dust control measures and other mitigation for all impacts must be included in the form of a comprehensive EIR. And I have to tell you personally, as a parent, I'm befuddled by this concept of 7 days notification. You tell a school that, and then is it the burden on the school to close the school or in some way protect the children? Because under CEQA, that's the responsibility of the project proponent, not the school. Finally, to wrap up, it brings me no joy to say this, but we all do indeed want to see those tanks removed, but in an environmentally responsible way. And I would hate to see this issue be pushed unnecessarily into the courts, costing the time and treasure of advocacy groups, neighborhood groups, and the city. So I would respectfully request that you require a full environmental impact report for this. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Samir, I think, though, has a question.
Yes.
A follow-on question. I'm sorry, before you.
I had a follow-up question looking at some of this. Looking at, you did kind of wrap it up at the end there. Like you, most people are here that are here are suspicious of what the purposes of the removing it are by the owner. On your side of it, I'm wondering what you view the end result. I'm looking at things like there's this one endangered species, a southern tar plant, one plant on there. If with this EIR, what would be your feeling of what the end result should be? Because if you've got things like this, is that going to restrict what they can do to take these tanks down?
Well,
what do you visualize? The end result, if we had an EIR.
As best as I understand it, since I'm not a lawyer, the purpose of a full EIR is to fully assess what is out there, what's the best way to remove these tanks, and how to do it in a comprehensive way. You have such limited information with a mitigated negative declaration. So it just seems sensible and responsible to gather this information and have a full assessment. Given you're talking about tanks that are full of toxic substances, the Rosie the Riveter School is a quiet school. You don't see much about it, but it's right there. So it just seems responsible on all those levels, including being responsible to the threatened and endangered species that are out there, of which the tar plant is one.
Well, if they ended up going through an EIR,
mm-hmm.
and these things were identified, and how would you feel that for the community that these particular items should be addressed, that they'd have to redo the area to provide a habitat, or what's your vision of what that should happen there?
I mean, at the risk of repeating myself, that's
it's sort of a circular conversation. I mean, an EIR gives you the information you need, mm-hmm. you, the commissioners, the public, that's its purpose. And so to sort of short-circuit that through this mitigated negative declaration, it robs us of the information we need from which I could more clearly answer your questions. That's mm-hmm. its purpose. It's a report, an environmental impact report, to give us that information. And certainly your attorney has their opinion, and our attorney has we've got our opinion that we've communicated. I guess just stepping back and looking at this through the terms of common sense, what are you really losing if you gather more information and in a more comprehensive way through an environmental impact report? I was in conversation with our attorney earlier today, and he was just shaking his head, except on the phone, so I couldn't see, that you're being asked to approve this project, and then your staff is telling you, oh, and then we're going to check with all these agencies and make sure that, you know, they're doing the right thing too. That's not the way it's supposed to work. You shouldn't be approving this until that information has been brought forth, and the vehicle to do that, as best as I understand it, would be through an environmental impact report.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
I think, Derek, you had a comment? Oh, okay. Sorry. Next speaker. Thank you.
Good evening, Chairwoman and members of the Planning Commission. My name's Jim Jacoby. My address for my business is 5900 Cherry Avenue. I'm the manager of right-of-way and land for Plains All-American Pipeline. We're the tank farm to the south of the Studebaker property. We would ask that a special provision be added to your permit if this does pass, that we obtain all the notices that are put out by Dean and you all, and we would like to have more information about how you're going to separate this system. This was an Edison system, the AES power plant, our tank farm to the south, and Tom Dean's property was all one system at one time. It's all interrelated with pipelines, and these are not only oil pipelines, but sewage, water, electrical, and fire water for emergency situations. And we're concerned that when this Caltech comes in and starts destroying the tanks, that it's going to sever our system, and we're going to be down. Plains All-American Pipeline supplies 20% of the crude to the L.A. Basin, and we have tank farms all over Los Angeles, and this is an important tank farm, and we want to make sure that we're able to work with Studebaker LLC and make sure that these things are addressed. With the cutter tank situation, that's a 50,000-barrel cutter tank on the south that he's going to take down. Now, there's another 50,000-barrel cutter tank to the north, and that's ours. We use that. That's displaced oil. And that's a valuable tank, and there's a shared retention wall around it. So if they demolish that one cutter tank, they're going to take out that retaining wall, and then we're going to be out of compliance, and we're going to have to shut that facility down temporarily while we fix it. And then, of course, you know, the refineries don't get the amount of crude that they're contracted for, and price of gas goes up. So we would like to make sure that there's a special provision added to that permit if you do pass it, that certain items are worked out with Plains All-American Pipeline.
Just as a point of information, you haven't been part of this process to date?
We've been in the background. We haven't expressed much of an opinion because I'm not really in the know of a lot of the decisions, but, you know, we're neither for nor against right now. We just want to safeguard our facility.
Commissioner Dernan, I think, has a question.
Yes, just so I understand, your tanks, their tanks are to the south of you. You're just...
No, they're to the north. Yeah, the four tanks are to the north across that little canal, and we're to the south of the...
South or to the east?
You're in the center. Aren't you in the center of the site and there?
If you could bring up that first picture, I can show you, that you showed on your presentation. They're here, though.
So he's north.
Yeah, this is our cutter tank. Yeah.
But he needs to retain this to this tank.
Yeah. So your tanks, you know, as you head straight out along the San Gabriel River, that runs north and south, which a lot of people don't understand. So they're to the south of you. Correct?
Yeah, we're at Studebaker and Second.
So he's down.
Yeah, and we go all the way to the San Gabriel River.
But he's got one tank here.
All right.
Right. So.
All right. Thank you. I misunderstood. I was looking at the wrong tanks. Thank you.
And it's your cutter tank B that you're.
Yeah, we're concerned about that. But then, you know, if we wanted to, we could open valves, and if there was product or anything like that in those old tanks, I mean, we could ship that product even to AES. So we want to be very careful about what all is taken out of there, because if that destroys our system, then there's a lot of repairs to be done. And it includes emergency systems, too. So.
All right. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Mary Parcell. I'm here representing El Dorado Audubon Society, which is a California chapter of the National Audubon Society. And, you know, we really support the Los Fritos Wetland Land Trust, their attorney, and Upina's attorney, that they wrote the letter together. It just is common sense that if you're going to do the tank removal, you can't separate that from whatever goes next. It's a point of information. We are concerned about the cumulative impacts of the biological resources, which must be considered due to the close proximity of Los Cerritos Wetlands and the Los Cerritos Channel. That channel is an estuary all the way up to Atherton. So when you're, and it's all cumulative, these impacts. That's why you need an environmental impact report, is for information. We're concerned that the California Coastal Commission has not been consulted. There's nothing in writing. There's nothing for us to look at, to review. The Coastal Commission, the site is in the coastal zone. So the California Coastal Act applies to this site, including but not limited to sections covering protection of our coastal resources, best use of our coastal resources, local land use, and coastal-dependent uses. So that would be a consideration. Anyway, that is pretty much what I have to say. Also, California Department of Fish and Game, have you consulted them? I don't see that on the matrix at all. It does have jurisdiction over threatened and endangered species. We know there was a burrowing owl on the site. There's a particular protocol for anything that affects the burrowing owl. California Department of Fish and Game. What's the impact of the native plants upon the site? All of this. These are questions. What is the soil? What's the definition of wetlands? There's a state definition for the wetlands. You don't have it when you don't have a full review. And I must tell you that numerous people within the Audubon Society wrote individual letters and got the document back that was recirculated, and they are asking all of these questions because it just didn't provide anything when you look at that document. So anyway, to wrap up, it's the migratory birds on the Pacific Flyway with 95% of our wetlands destroyed. In Los Angeles County, it's closer to 98% destroyed, and Los Cerritos Wetlands is one of only two restorable estuaries in LA County. So cumulative, it all counts. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
My name is Janice Dahl. I'm from University Park Estates, and I've been previous past president of the association as well. And I was involved with the Home Depot challenge from the beginning. I'm here to say that we do need an EIR. We're not going to settle for anything less than an EIR. And I'm going to really just hone in on one aspect here. In your mitigated negative declaration on page 4, part of the skin of the tank has been peeled back or removed. Beyond that skin it appears that it is asbestos. Many tanks at one time were lined with asbestos. There is no provision, and no one knows because we don't have an EIR, what is lining the inside of these tanks. Once the tanks are removed and that asbestos becomes friable, that's when it creates a hazardous condition for the residents. And the real unfortunate thing here is the panel doesn't seem to, the process doesn't care. I'm not going to point my finger to any one person, but the process does not seem to care about our welfare. And when it comes to asbestos and some other toxins, the results, the consequences are not known for years down the road. And those health problems are not reversible. So to say that you're going to take the tanks down and have agencies watch, that's not doing any good. We need to know first what's there, then for the agencies to watch to make sure they're properly removed. And this, there's something in the news right now. It's in the Grunion Gazette. It's been in the Press Telegram. The Colorado Lagoon sewer development, which should have been done decades and decades ago, but those toxic dredged up soils are now being dumped along the right-of-way where the residents live. As those soils are drying out and becoming dust, the residents are now breathing that. This isn't showing the concern, the level of concern that the city needs to demonstrate to the residents so that we are assured that our health and the health of the school children and whoever works in the area, that we're not going to be lifelong impacted by your rash decision of taking down these tanks improperly. Thank you.
Good evening, Commissioners. Ann Cantrell. And I sent in a letter. I'm assuming it arrived. I faxed it and emailed it, and I did not get confirmation that you got it. Many of the things that I was concerned about have been addressed today by other people, but I would like to talk about page 2, where it says, quote, the above grade portion of the ASTs will be removed with minimal disturbance to the surrounding soil. And it's already been mentioned that there's no way of having heavy equipment, trucks, and men working around these tanks without disturbing the soil. And as I understood Mr. Murchison to say, they're going to solve this by putting a metal grate at the entrance of the facility so that when the trucks go out, they wouldn't be carrying the soil out of the facility. There's no mention of what's going to happen to the soil that is left around the tanks. Once you remove those tanks, that soil will be open to wind and rain and can be carried into the waterways, into the wetlands, into the lungs of people that live near here or are even driving by. I think it's been said more adequately than I can say it, that you are not following what CEQA demands. There is to be no piecemealing. You can't take down the tanks and then come back with another environmental report on how you're going to deal with the soil and all the other questions that have been raised when you want to, when the developer wants to put a project in here. I don't consider this a mitigated declaration. The only mitigation I saw for the effects that this was going to have on the school districts and the nearby schools was they were going to notify the schools 7 days prior to the demolition. And what It's already been asked, what are the schools going to do? Are they going to close? Are they going to provide the students and teachers with gas masks and hazmat suits? Are they going to tell everyone to quit breathing? This is not mitigation, and this is not an environmental impact report or a negative deck that will pass any kind of scrutiny by the courts. Thank you.
Did you want to make a comment now, Mr. Brummer? I think the applicant may have other comments to make in response to public comment as well.
Yes, Chair, members of the Commission. I want to clarify a few things, and then I want to give Jill probably an opportunity to clarify a few things on the environmental side of things. But I'll say as an overarching concern that we have done in our minds a full environmental analysis here. It's not that we've gone halfway. As the Commission knows, based on our study session we had, that all CEQA documents start with a checklist. And we go through that initial study checklist, and we do some analysis, and we determine, you know, based on that, whether there are any significant and unavoidable impacts. In this case, we found none. And based on finding those significant and unavoidable impacts, we are allowed by law to do a mitigating negative declaration. And we firmly believe that is adequate for the effects of this project. And to that point, I just want to remind the Commission what it is that's before them today. We're asking you to do two things. One is to certify this negative declaration, which is saying that we've adequately disclosed all of the impacts associated with the project. And second is to find that demolition of the tanks is consistent with the local coastal plan. So we are acknowledging that this site is in the coastal zone. By virtue of doing a local coastal development permit, it is within the city's jurisdiction. It is also appealable to the Coastal Commission, but we certainly are going through a coastal process. And, you know, while we don't have anything with writing on Coastal's position on this, we have talked with him because we feel it's prudent to do so. But they acknowledge and we understand that it is within the city's jurisdiction, excuse me, to go ahead and issue this coastal permit. So really that's all that's before us today. Now, we do feel that we have adequate provisions. You know, these tank demolitions happen from time to time, and there are protocols in place, and there are agencies, as we've shown you, that have authority over these. And, you know, part of the process is just disclosing those agencies that have authority and requiring the applicant to go through and get their approval prior to us issuing a demolition permit. But I think in order to clear that path, one, we have to disclose what that process is, and we've done that. And second, we have to find that this is in compliance with the coastal permit, which is the other thing we're asking you to do tonight. So I guess our position still remains the same, that we do feel we've done what's necessary here, and we've done an adequate job of that. So I don't know if Jill wants to add something on the neg deck.
Just briefly, I would like to clarify. It's been few people have expressed concern that the Department of Toxic Substances Control was not notified. One of the reasons the city did the 30-day review, which includes sending the document to the state clearinghouse, so that there's an assumption that at that level they're going to send it out to a number of city departments, and the local agency, the city, tells them which departments we think it needs to go to. In addition, the document was sent to our local branch office of DTSC, which is located in Cyprus. Excuse me. City staff was contacted by a DTSC employee who's at their Chatsworth office, claiming that the department knew nothing about that. But once that employee was informed that the Cyprus office was involved and had received both the original MND and the revised one, I think that employee had a better understanding of, you know, we're required to work with the most local branch, and that's the branch that we've worked with on previous documents as well, not just this MND.
Commissioner Dornan.
You know, it's all I'm done with you. You know, it's these things are, it's all about trust. We've had lots of things going on. I've lived not next to these tanks, but close enough that I drive by them all the time. I watch so many things in the city that we stop the inertia and nothing happens, and these tanks sit there. From my standpoint, it's a lot that goes on with the wetlands. Those wetlands have been like that with the tanks and the oil wells and everything my whole life. And I would love to see the process start moving forward. Those drilling rigs have been out there forever, and so I'm satisfied with the regulatory agencies that are going to look at this. I think it's important that we get an engineering assessment of where the pipelines go to the adjacent landholder, and that can be part of it. I think that there needs to be a city inspector on site, not a drive-by inspector, but somebody's there at least 2 hours a day. And the problem that I have with an environmental report, we get all hooked up, with all due respects to the wetlands concept and not to trying to get these tanks down. I think we can deal with that at another time. So I would like to see it move forward.
And I do have just a couple of points of clarification still. My understanding in coming to an understanding of this project was that it involved demolishing the tanks and removing the tanks, but that the tanks are, in fact, there was some mention of sitting on steel plates, but that they're actually on concrete slabs, which will be left in place.
That's our understanding, is that they are on a concrete slab, and the concrete slab will remain in place.
Because there was conversation, or there were comments about soil being exposed that would not presently be exposed, or being then subject to rain and wind. My sense, again, in coming to an understanding of this project, was that we are not changing the soil, the conditions of the soil on this site. And I think, in fact, that is a condition of that will be a condition of all of the permitting that's part of this process. We cannot disturb soil that we haven't tested, that we don't know, and certainly there will be no export. That was one of the first comments that was made, was about export of soil from the site. My understanding is that there would be no export of soil from the site, that there couldn't be any export of soil for the site at this time. There is no plan for that, unless that was part of the DTSC plan that was developed. But as I understand it, that is not included in this project.
That's correct. You may want to just have the applicant verify that, have the contractor verify that. But that's the project as described in the neg deck. That's the project as we understand it, as being brought forward to you tonight. If you want some confirmation, they are nodding in the affirmative. So that's.
Yeah, if you could.
That is true. No soil that is in contact with the concrete. If the concrete is above soil and we can remove it without disturbing the soil, we'll do that. Any soil will not be removed from the site. Any soil.
Okay.
Is that?
That was my understanding of the project. And, disturbing soil, I think, is where we're getting into a whole different arena. And so that was a concern, certainly.
And could I just have some clarification? Did you indicate that all of the tanks are sitting on concrete slabs as opposed to metal?
It's not confirmed the exact structure underneath. Some may be steel, some may be on a concrete base. That hasn't been exactly confirmed. We know what the perimeter is. We know what the tanks are, but it hadn't been confirmed on the bottom structure.
So then, if we're demoing the steel plate that the tank sits on, then we are in fact exposing soil that wasn't exposed previously. I don't understand that. That was sort of a basic premise for me, was that these were on concrete slabs. We're doing everything above grade, but if they're sitting on steel plates, the steel plates are going to stay in place?
No, they'll be cut and removed.
So maybe staff can clarify, or through the, sort of through the permitting process, then how that would be addressed. Seems to me that just that triggers a different set of conditions and a different set of mitigations, because if we are exposing soil that might be contaminated, we would have to deal with that. So I don't know how to answer that question or that concern.
Well, I mean, our understanding has always been that they were on concrete foundations. Now, I agree that probably does change things if they're on a steel plate, and I don't know how to confirm that one way or another, if that's something you can do, if it's something you're not sure of, or if it's something
We can do research on it. We can go in and verify the bases on them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that it is steel, it is concrete, but we can confirm.
Okay.
Obviously, Commissioner, if we have to get in there and determine what it is, it's premature to determine if we're going to be disturbing anything unless it is the plates. If it's just the concrete, we're not going to be doing that. So we need to get that answer for you and work it through with staff. But if it's strictly the concrete, then, you know, I don't see what the concern is.
But
if it's the plates, yes, we don't know that completely.
We don't know that.
No.
Sorry, if I may, you actually do know that. In the DTSC comments...
Excuse me, can you identify yourself for the record?
Heather Altman. In the DTSC comments, through the creation of the RCRA work plan and the consent agreement, there were comments requesting a better understanding of the foundation, primarily associated with Tank 3, which is slated for removal. The reply to that comment was that Tank 3 sits on a steel plate that sits on top of gravel, which is presumed to be contaminated. They hadn't done testing, so it was kind of an ingoing presumption. But at least with regards to Tank 3, that does sit on a steel plate, as identified in the DTSC comments through the production of the work plan.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think we really were supposed to be back behind the rails, so I don't think we're looking for more public comment at this point. But
may I just refer you to page 23-4 of your own negative deck, which says that the shallow soils have been contaminated by petroleum hydrocarbons and arsenic around the tanks. This is in the negative deck.
Yes, I did read that. Thank you. So.
Well, I think what I don't know that fundamentally changes what we're asking you to do tonight. I mean, I think still we're looking to DTSC to tell the contractor what's going to be required of them. And I think that still holds regardless of, you know, concrete steel plates or whatever the tanks sit on. It may change ultimately what they have to do, but I don't know that it changes our analysis, because our analysis is inherently relying upon DTSC to essentially do their jobs in this case, which is to make sure that this demolition is done in a safe manner. Now, that said, yes, our understanding was that they were all on concrete foundations, and so fact is news, but again, in terms of the fundamental process here, I think they still are required to go through DTSC, they still are required to come to some agreement on a work plan, and they still are required to go ahead and do whatever is necessary to make sure that the tanks are removed in a safe manner, and I think that the land is left in a manner that's not releasing contaminants. So I think we're still comfortable if we want to move forward tonight. Certainly, if you'd like some additional information, we can go get that as well, but again, I'm not sure that fundamentally changes the applicant's requirements or our recommendation.
If I could add just briefly, the environmental consultant and Craig Chalfant of the advanced planning staff and I visited the site with Mr. Keller and his staff, and I believe Tank 3 is the tank that is completely empty, and the floor of the tank is visible. And it's not steel plates. It is visible on in one portion, and it's I mean, there might be steel plates underneath, but they are not visible in the base of the tank at all. So it's not clear.
Right. It doesn't seem like it is clear. One question I have, and I guess this goes back to something that I had asked previously. You know, as we can hear, it's really clear. The community is very concerned about this project and its impacts on them. And one of the reasons, you know, that we are concerned about things is because we don't know as much as we'd like to about them. There's a level of uncertainty. And it seems to me, and maybe I'm proposing something that can't be done, but that if at least we had a DTSC work plan, we would know a lot more, and the community would know a lot more before we approved a minute. I understand that that's not necessarily related to certifying an MND, but now we've seen that there's some information that we didn't know before. So if we had a DTSC work plan, the community would know more, and we would know more about what this project and this process was going to entail. And my perspective is that that might alleviate some of the community's concerns. And I think that could be done.
I would agree that that can be done, and if you want to do that, we're certainly able to bring that back to you. The question is at what point do you want to hold this action over until we develop a work plan, or do you want to take action tonight and have us bring back a work plan at which point it's developed? I think we can do probably either one of those, unless Mike has an opinion one way.
I do have an opinion. The applicant, as we know from listening to the conversations, is going to have to obtain a work plan from DTSC anyway before he can come to the city and actually pull the demo permit. So as long as he's going to have to go through that process, and if you have qualms about certifying the negative declaration without that information, my suggestion would be to put the entire matter over, not certify the negative declaration tonight, put the matter over to a time uncertain so that the applicant can get the necessary work plan approved from DTSC, bring that work plan back together with the negative declaration and the other project approval, which is the local coastal permit, and handle it that way. Then you'll have all the information that you would like.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what the other commissioners' thoughts are on that. Commissioner Fox?
Well, I agree with Charlie Dernan's comments that we do want to move this forward. And it's very obvious that there are trust issues. There are trust issues with the applicant, which there is no question about. There are trust issues with the city, and that's a separate set of concerns. That almost goes with the territory. We've been talking about, I think, something that will boil down to other conditions, additional conditions of approval that would go into anything we were to approve tonight. That's the way I'm reading the discussions. I'm wondering, and this is a question to the commission, if we could...
Commissioner Fox?
Well, I agree with Charlie Dernan's comments that we do want to move this forward. And it's very obvious that there are trust issues. There are trust issues with the applicant, which... there is no question about. There are trust issues with the city, and that's a separate set of concerns. That almost goes with the territory. We've been talking about, I think, something that will boil down to other conditions, additional conditions of approval that would go into anything we were to approve tonight. That's the way I'm reading the discussions. I'm wondering, and this is a question to the commission, if we could somehow put the DTSC work plan into a condition of approval to come back to us without otherwise delaying the product. And in other words, without taking more time here, but with the requirement on that agency. And I think there's a kick the can type problem in this. We don't want to just put this off in another agency, but if that's what we're talking about, is there a way of stating this as a condition of approval with the work plan coming to us within a certain stipulated time period, such as a month, without delaying other things? And I don't know that answer. I'm trying to be practical.
So you're suggesting a conditional sort of approval?
No.
Or it would be an approval, but with an additional condition that we then review review the work plan?
We're talking about additional engineering as it relates to Plains Petroleum. We're talking about some requirement of ongoing periodic inspections. One thing Charlie didn't say, but we have been talking about, is providing the community with contact numbers so that we avoid the type of situation we were in with the quasi-wetlands issue right across the street, where things are going on where the community doesn't know where to turn. All of those can be handled, it seems to me, by just adding conditions of approval in what we do. And those are intended to provide additional arsenal to the community in case of problems. But what we're talking about right now, is there a way of perhaps imposing one more condition, but it involves another agency, and that is getting a work plan back to us within a stipulated time. And I don't know.
It just seems to me then the cow is out of the barn at that point.
I mean, obviously, I don't think anybody in the room could probably answer the question of how fast the DTSC would come up with a work plan. So that makes it very difficult. And again, all I can say is if we are going to put it over until that plan is available. I mean, we've already said that we're not going to issue a demolition permit without it, but so that you can look at it and consider it as well, my suggestion would be just simply continue the matter until a date uncertain, until the applicant comes back to staff with a certified work plan. We can then make that certified work plan a condition of approval, and you can reconsider the neg deck at that time. I don't see that loses the applicant much time, because he has to go through that process anyway.
What if we give our approval subject to that certified work plan coming back?
I guess the question would be, what would be the purpose of bringing the certified plan back? Because you've already given your approval. So it would seem to me that if you're going to impose that as a condition, it makes more sense to kind of couple them together and bring them back at the same time so that you can consider all the approvals.
Mike, what the same issue with a work plan is like the EIR. Do we know what's going to be in it? The delay for delay's sake is the other side of the coin in terms of dangers.
I think we have a fair idea of what's going to be in it, because the applicant did obtain a work plan for a more extensive project, but did obtain a work plan in connection with the original Home Depot project. This is much less than what they were planning to do then as far as removal and those sorts of things. But I think we have an idea of what DTSC would require. They do have standard conditions for, you know, we talked about unanticipated things that might come up during the demo process, but I don't know how long it would delay the project, because like I said, the applicant clearly has to get this approval from DTSC anyway. So
I'm thinking how practically to deal with this tonight. We've got to obviously look out for the rights of the property owner, and at the same time be sensitive to the other concerns that have been expressed.
Well, if you wanted to deal with it tonight, the way to do it would be to certify the negative declaration, approve the local coastal development permit, and impose an additional requirement that the city not issue any type of permit, demolition permit, until such time it receives notification from either the applicant or DTSC that an appropriate work plan is in place for this project.
Does that make sense as a way to go?
I mean, my comment to that is that I'm just, you know, we've heard that we're not piecemealing, that this project is not part of a larger project, so I'm just not sure what the rush is. I mean, from my perspective, I wasn't sure what the rush was in terms of approving this when there's a mechanism for us to get more information and then make a decision based on, a higher comfort level of the community and me, that we have more information. So that's my feeling. Commissioner Samir has been wanting to say something for a while now.
Yes, I agree with you. I think particularly there's a trust issue that comes up here and for everybody and against the city. And I think if we do something here, it's a trust against this commission also. And to me, I think we should get this work plan put this off as far as making a decision on this until we get more information. Like we had on this issue here, there are some questions, some surprises maybe, like we were talking about the concrete underneath it, and we assumed something, and it isn't necessarily true. We assume it is true, but there may be some question there. So I would agree that we should get a work plan before we go ahead with this. I don't feel comfortable approving it and leaving it up to somebody else to decide, yes, this is okay, and go ahead with it. I would like it to come back to this body before we do approve it.
Commissioner Dernan.
I would move that we request a delay on this particular project and that await a certified work plan, and that we see some engineering analysis on the AES, the interlocking pipeline systems. And that we have a better understanding what the substrate is under these tanks so that we can better understand what mitigation may be necessary.
If I could maybe clarify that motion before we go to a second. You talked about engineering analysis on the pipelines. Are you looking for the applicant to demonstrate that they wouldn't harm Plains' operation somehow in conjunction with their demolition project?
I think we need some satisfaction that the neighbor has is comfortable with what pipelines are going to be shut down.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And secondly, I don't know that we'll be able to know for certain what's underneath the tanks until the tanks are taken out. And as I said earlier, we can't touch anything on the site until we adopt a local coastal development permit and whatever appropriate CEQA document goes with that. So we can do our best to get some additional information on what's under the tank, but we may not be able to tell for certain until some work is actually done out there on the site. So.
Well, you know, one of the simple things how you can satisfy that, man goes down inside the tank like they do when they clean tanks, and he drills a hole and does a core sample. I mean, it doesn't take that long, and it's not that expensive.
But again, we're getting into doing work out on the site that we're not able to do absent a coastal permit. So we can do some more analysis, and we'll do that, and we'll come back with what we can come back with. But just understand that we can't be disturbing anything on the site absent approval of a coastal permit.
And I think you'll see the way the work plan is written, it'll be written to cover those contingencies. So it'll have a work plan in the event it's concrete, a work plan in the event that it's some other material, steel or whatever.
I'm satisfied with that.
And seeing no one else, I'll second that motion. Is there any other discussion? Commissioner Fox?
I just so there are no surprises. And I can see where we're going with this. I think I will probably vote against the motion with the idea of preventing further delay, but with agreement with everything that has been said in terms of the conditions, but liking the way Mike Mays expressed a possibility in terms of how we deal with the DTSC. So I'm very close with you, but the vote will go the other way.
Thank you. Then Commissioner Blair,
is that a substitute? Are you going to make a substitute motion?
No, I'm just discussing. It's not a substitute motion, unless you have some other.
I also agree, and I think we're starting. I think the more we talk, the more questions we have, and this is the more details that we're
asking for, which lead to more questions. When we have a lot of regulatory agencies that are involved, and there has been some upfront planning, although I do understand the concerns about the one tank, and if we're starting to get into ground contamination, I think there's regulatory agencies that are going to be overseeing this project in a very high level that can help us through this. We have to really trust also the planning staff, the people that they've hired, and the agencies that are the governmental agencies that are experts in this field. And I also think that Mike had a good, I like your way that you put this together on how you would change the motion, and I'd like to make a substitute motion of that you had requested, if you could repeat that to us.
On the one condition. There are other conditions, too, obviously.
If I follow that, I think I gave two options, and I guess under your option, it would be to certify the negative declaration, approve the local coastal development permit, and add several conditions of approval. One would be that no demolition permit issue until such time as the applicant and or the DTSC presented the city with a certified work plan. Two, that there be cooperation between the applicant and the adjacent property owner to demonstrate to the satisfaction of the city that the adjacent property owner's interests would not be harmed by virtue of the demolition. And three, I wrote down ABS, and I
inspections.
Can't remember.
The daily inspection, the inspector coming out, city inspector coming
city
out.
City inspector would be on site at least once daily during the demolition phase.
And providing contact numbers, Mike, for the community to know, to express their concerns during the process, that's easy to do. I'd just add that as another.
And we can add that, too, that there is a contact number. And Derek reminded me that if a building inspector is on site on a daily basis, that's not usual for the city. So the condition would be that the applicant would have to pay for the cost of that inspector to be on site during the demolition.
Well, it's a substitute motion as expressed by you with those various conditions. I would second that substitute motion.
Could the chair get a little help with Robert's rules of order?
Sure.
Doesn't the substitute motion have to be agreed to by the original person who made the motion?
No. The way we do it in the Planning Commission and the City Council is we can have up to two substitute motions. So we have the main motion, which has already been made and seconded. Now we have a substitute motion and a second. And if there are no further motions, then we would take a vote on the substitute motion, which is the one that I just articulated. And if that passes, we're done, if it gets a majority. If it doesn't pass, then we would take a vote on the original motion.
Thank you. Commissioner Blair, did you have another comment to add? No. All right. Any other discussion of the substitute motion? I think we have a vote.
Motion fails 2-3.
Now we would take a vote on the main motion, the first motion.
All right, can we have a vote?
On the main motion?
On the first motion. The main motion is the first motion that was made by Commissioner Dernan.
Motion carries 3-2.
And just for the audience's sake, under our current procedures, it's no set date now. So when it is set at another date, notice will go back out to the community.
Thank you.
That's a good job, Becky.